The House will come back to order. Representative Allen, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the South Gallery, there are two constituents from House District 33, Andrea Clifford and Millie Friday. I'd like to welcome them to the House.
Welcome to the House. Good to see you. Are there any other announcements as we're coming back? Okay. Fellow members, we are still on second reading, and we are in our final bill of second reading, Senate File 146. Reading clerk.
Senate File 146 from Senator Nicholas, an act relating to the administration of government.
Senate File 146 does have an amendment. That's to be presented by Chairman Zwanitz or Dave. And oh, pardon me. Chairman Zwanitz or Dave, would you like to present that amendment?
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 146 and ask for your favorable consideration. And members of the body, to understand that yesterday the fine chairman of appropriations said something to the effect of it's the longest, biggest piece of paper that's come out of this body. And maybe to understand what we are doing, I don't think I have permission to hold those papers up, but you want to go to the graph that has 1, 2, 3 labeled on it. And if you go into the middle graph, there's some money that flows into two accounts, and they're darkened on your graph. And one of them says the LSRA, and then one of them says the SIPA account. So, and what I am addressing on this amendment is simply the SIPA account, which is the one on the right-hand side, and I believe it says it has like $85 million possibly anticipated into that. So, with that in mind, if you go to the engrossed version of your bill, and let me read this so it makes sense, it talks about the SIP account, and then it says, funds within the account shall only be expended with legislative appropriation, and then with the Senate, or with our House Standing Committee amendment, it said that the governor then would be able not to spend more than half of that account. So that actually leaves half of the money still sitting there in the account. And the way the bill's written at the moment, that pretty much leaves it up to the Appropriations Committee to determine where that money will go. And so what my amendment does, and I know you have to read through it a couple of times, but it basically says all the money that goes in the account, then the governor would have access to half of it, and the legislature would have access to the other half. And these would be all for one-time projects. And the other catch to that is when it goes to the governor's office, that still has to go through the Appropriations Committee. The way I'm presenting my bill, it simply comes to this body and the body down the other side of the building, and we, based on our decisions, get to put money or bring bills and state that the money that would fund those one-time funding projects could come out of this account. So I think with that, I see some folks up to definitely support the amendment, and then I will get back for my second time.
Thank you. Chairman Harshman, for your first time.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader, and I appreciate the good Chairman of Transportation bringing this amendment and extolling the virtues of this bill. I hope that our colleagues, our mobile protein-induced colleagues down the floor feel the same way, but because we've made substantial changes to this bill. But I would say that this amendment is not necessary, and we've already kind of stuck our toe into some some deeper waters by saying that the chief executive can only, and I think the good chairman of transportation is really trying to talk about two different issues. And we're really in the way the current bill is, it's about requests. It's not about appropriations, because appropriations happens with 31 votes in this body. And he referred to about the Joint Appropriations Committee then would appropriate those dollars. We make requests. We all here on Committee of the Whole and then second and third reading appropriate the dollars. And so it's very important to understand the committee process. And I think the problem with this amendment, it gets in the road of the committee process. And particularly your Appropriations Committee, which is, spends a month down here. Every session is a long session if you're on appropriations. There's no short and long sessions. So we come down here and we try to look at the big picture. And you try to build a budget. Number one, has to be balanced. And what we're trying to do with this SIPA account is say, you know, the chief executive then can request out of half of it. Because the 60 of us and the 30 down the floor also have ideas and dreams. And we hear about people from around the state with different projects. So we say then the other half is for legislative requests. Well, how that kicks off is your JAC sees all these requests from state hospitals to prisons to our universities, community colleges, to projects in communities, projects that will grow the state through, whether it be, different value-added appropriations, those kind of things. And then you build a budget. And then we throw it out here. And then the floor works its magic on it. And just like you did in this current budget, you rejected this body down the floor, rejected a couple items that we held in. They put in a couple items for our community colleges that we rejected. And in the end, the budget gets changed and the process gets changed. And certainly members, so everything that is in this amendment, proposed amendment, can already be done, where it talks about on lines 25, 6, and 7. All those things are currently done. The thing that is not done is where you exclude your budgeting committee. I mean, what state does that? I've never heard anything like this. So I just, this would be a real departure of the committee process. And I haven't seen any other bills that come in and say, you know, transportation military affairs can deal with everything in transportation military affairs except now not military affairs. And we're going to leave that to only members bringing individual bills or on committee of the whole or whatever. And it's just not something we do. And so I would urge us to reject this for respect really for the process that's been in place. Wyoming's the best run state in the country the last 6 years, and that's not by accident. And that's through conservative budgeting and planning for the future. And really our work together as the 60 of us on this floor and the 30 down the hall from us. And to exclude the folks who are down here for a month, who have to put it all together from different, hear all the stories from all around the state, from all the agencies, I think is ill-advised. And so I appreciate your no vote on this amendment. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak for their first time? Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. On and against this amendment and for the bill. And let me just first start by saying that, in general, I think this is a great bill. And even though my colleagues on the Appropriations Committee don't like the word, I think this bill is really one regarding transparency. And that's why I very much support it. It allows us to see where the money is coming from, where it's going, to guarantee our accounts, and I'm very much in favor of it. In the Appropriations Committee, I had one amendment that didn't work, and honestly, I plan on bringing that back tomorrow, and I'll actually use some of the good chairman's words that he just used right now in order to support that amendment. But it goes right to where the good chairman of transportation is pointing out. But honestly, the amendment that I wanted is in the exact opposite of where the chairman of transportation is going. The chairman of transportation is saying, okay, we're going to take a look at that SIPA account, and we're going to say that unlike right now, where the governor, the JAC, you and the body can use that SIPA account, we're going to limit the governor to 50% of it. We're going to say to JAC, you can't touch it, and that the rest of the body, you can use it. And I would say that's the wrong direction. It's just the wrong direction. We have a process where the governor puts together a budget. He presents it to the Appropriations Committee that listens to agencies. We, all of us, put together bills, and we have money, pots of money out there to be expended. Let's let the committee process work. Let's not say, this money is for you, this money is for me, this money is for this group of you. No, we're the ones, basically, at the end of the day on this floor that vote for the budget. We don't have a particular pot of money. We don't take away that pot of money from your appropriations committee, and we shouldn't be telling the governor you can't touch that money at all in order to make your recommendations. So I would urge you to vote against this amendment and ultimately for the bill.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I don't know where I'm at on this. I'm out in the weeds, especially on line 25, where it speaks to the members of the legislature or committees of the legislature provided, we can sponsor legislation during each budget session of legislature, separate and distinct from the general appropriation bill or bills from one-time expenditures from the account in an amount not to exceed 50% of the funds available. So I guess what I'm confused about is, and maybe the bringer of the amendment can answer this, is does that specifically state that, so 50%, so say we've got a, throughout this body, we've got a bunch of bills with appropriations on them. Well, what happens if the first bill seen passes and soaks up that 50%? Does that automatically kill the rest of those bills? And if I could just have that clarified, thank you.
Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. On an against amendment, and I think the question just asked is a good illustration of why this amendment doesn't really fit. And because we can do all this right now, if you look right, I mean, anyone on this floor can sponsor a bill to spend money. And that's all this does. And all this does is it says you can do it out of a certain account. Well, we can do it out of any account. That's our ability as lawmakers. And same with every committee. We've seen committees come through this year with appropriations that this body has approved. So I'm just not sure that this, no matter how mad you may be at appropriations after the budget process, I'm not sure that this does anything other than sets aside an amount of money we still go through the same process on. So, I mean, the fact is, why would we want to limit ourselves to SIPA, given that we can sponsor bills? We can, we could come and I could bring a bill right now to spend the entire SIPA. And so I just don't know why this is necessary in light of that authority that we all already have.
Chairman Swanser Dam.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Since I'm not on appropriations, I'll be speaking in favor of the amendment. And here's what I see after 11 years. And it's somewhat of a pushback on the Appropriations Committee, but especially in the House more so than the Senate, because many of us, we turn over, 15 of us are new every 2 years, and you all come down here with priorities. And especially for freshmen, you come down here with priorities, and then you get to the appropriations process, and they say, well, we've actually already had the governor, spend the money, and we've reworked, and there's really no money left. And this year I think we had, $1 million or $5 million, and we always get the Craig report in January, which tends to generally be, after a decade of watching this, the same time of the year that we have the lowest anticipated Craig report. And it generally, I shouldn't say in all instances, but it usually comes up by the middle of the year. And so we always get down here, and then we have to fight, I shouldn't say fight, we have to debate with the Appropriations Committee on which pot of money we could find the project for, because the response is always the same from Appropriations. We've already looked at all the funds. We've already, appropriated everything. And if you want this project, you have to take away a project from this. And so we never really get to come down here and say, hey, here's just a little bit of money for legislative priorities. We always come down here and you have the governor's priorities, and then some people on the Appropriations Committee, they have their priorities in tandem with the other body, and it's Appropriations priorities. But I think especially in the House, the frustration a lot of us have felt over the years is that, we all have our projects that are important to our districts and important to our constituents, and we have to go back and say, well, there just wasn't any money, or there's never any money left over for us to say, hey, look, we have done something that benefits this community. And if we do, it's this big push against, well, what are we taking away? And I heard it this time with the budget, and I heard it last year, is, everything's appropriated. We don't have any money. We're going underwater. And if you dare bring in a, you know, an appropriation, you know, we're going to go further underwater. And that's true based on the Appropriations Committee's recommendation of where funding should go. And so, and I understand this is a bill with the other body and this probably won't last, but it is nice sometimes to have the discussion that we all have our priorities as legislators. And it isn't quite as simple as just coming down and saying, you know, anybody can bring a bill that has an appropriation. While that's true in spirit, that isn't always true in practice, because usually it gets a haircut or it gets killed. And then, you know, we find this separate process. We try to put some things in the budget. You know, I think we saw 9 or 10 amendments in the budget this year where bills were, you know, not successful. And so we try another approach to try to put in the budget, and we protect some bills that way. I think we saw 4 of those this year. If this bill doesn't pass, we'll protect that money. And so, I mean, really, the legislative process is all about appropriating funds. And I think what this amendment tries to do is get to the heart of, it would be nice to come down here in a budget or non-budget session and just say, hey, here's a pot of money, or half of a pot of money, that are for strategic investments and projects on behalf of the people of Wyoming in our estimations. Because usually by the time this legislature gets here, you know, appropriations has done amazing work and they've gone through everything and it's all worked out and configured. And sometimes they say, well, we have this much left for legislative projects. And some years they say, well, we don't have anything. But what this amendment does is guarantee that years we would have some money set aside that the governor can't touch and say what's best for the state, the Appropriations Committee. And not, I'm trying really hard not to denigrate the Appropriations Committee, because I know how hard they work and what they do, and it can't be easy balancing all the needs of the state. But the inverse of that is sometimes it would be nice for us to come down here and say, hey, here's some money that nobody's touched that we know we have available for projects that we want to see. And, you know, some of our committees, members of the Appropriations, have sat on those committees. I don't think anyone on Appropriations has been on Corporations on my committee, but... You know, we all have our fiefdoms, is a word another one of the chairman used to use, that we all know what's happening in that, and sometimes, you know, we have issues from that committee or from our members that say, we really should go in this direction, and you don't know, especially as a freshman or sophomore, how to get the Appropriations Committee to take that into effect, unless you're on Appropriations. And so that's what the amendment, I think, tries to do. I don't know if it would be ultimately successful, but I do think it's a nice... understanding that we do have a pot of money we can come down here in the legislature, because we're elected by the constituents in our districts, can say, hey, look, we're going to try some things to more or less bring home the bacon for some specific projects in our districts or for some greater needs of the state, like highways or infrastructure or electronic communications. So I would speak in favor of the amendment. I don't think it's going to get through the other body, but it would be nice to kind of have that mindset that maybe we can come down here and have a pot of money each year for an appropriation by the body at large.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. On and against this amendment, I would urge you to vote against this. What this invites is a dysfunctional free-for-all. And when I say dysfunctional, I mean exactly the question that was asked. How are you going to have any order about how the money's spent if there's just a pot of money that's reserved out there and it's first come, first serve out of this body? And what kind of coalitions are going to be built out of that? And there's no guidance. There's no concern for the big picture. Now, we appoint committees, and we've got to support the committee system, because if we don't, then this body can't function. None of us can know everything about everything. So we delegate things to committees, and we delegate the budget to the Appropriations Committee. They spend a great deal of time. If you want to, you can come down here and sit during their meetings, and there are all kinds of opportunities for public comment. But you know what? It goes out on the Internet. They do their business in public, and nobody's ever there. It's not, I don't know, it's not flashy enough. You don't want to put in the time, I think. I don't want to put in the time. They're down here for a month, 6 weeks before the session starts, and then they're here all during the session. Now, I don't want to come here and spend that kind of time. But to just reserve off a pot of money and say that's off limits to the Appropriations Committee and the legislature will deal with it, as I say, it's going to be a dysfunctional free-for-all. And I guess the first one of the money gets it. And I don't think that's a very good way to address the big picture of what's in the best interest of the citizens of this state. So let the Appropriations Committee work. Let them have let them make a budget and bring it in here, and if we don't like the budget, then individual parts of that budget can be, you know, we went through the whole thing, and individual parts of that budget can be subject to bills to change the funding, to fund something and defund something else. But the complaint I think I'm hearing is, well, the only way we can fund something is take something away from something else. Well, that's what you're doing either way, isn't it? If you take part of the money and say it's off limits, it's not there, then that's taken away from everything else the Appropriations Committee is trying to address. And so they're addressing the big picture and the totality of the needs of the state with one arm tied behind them. That's not the way it works. If you have a project and you feel that it needs to be funded, and you can't get it in the budget, you can't get it through the Appropriations Committee, you can't get it any other way, and you come up here to the floor and put it on the floor, it's got to have a debit for that credit. If you're going to credit your project, it has to be at the expense of something else. And like I say, it'll be that in effect either way, even if you do this. That means this is money that's not available to address the totality of the needs of the state as seen by the Joint Appropriations Committee. So I just think it's a really bad idea. I think it leads to bad legislation and bad fiscal management. I'd urge you to vote against the amendment.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. A first for a second.
Anyone else for their first? All right. For your second, prior to the sponsor, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Joy Floor. Just kind of go down memory lane a little bit. I think the good chairman of corporations kind of. And in my 13 sessions here, this is the first time we've come with really a real big negative kind of balance that we had to deal with. And then when with the Craig report, we've had January Craigs that had us $1 billion surplus. We had $30 million and $50 million, and we've had all these amounts. So it's, you know, the Craig is what it is. That's what we work off of. That's our process. And so, but like, for example, the SIPA this year, we took $20 million, I think, out of one chunk of it and $40 million out of another to balance the budget. So we used it simply to balance the budget. So I think, again, I appreciate your respect for the committee process. And regardless, it's always going to be 31 votes. That's the way our system is. So appreciate your no vote on this amendment. Thank you.
You want to, the sponsor of the amendment? Do you want to speak on it now for your second time? Okay. It doesn't appear. They're asking for the question, so I'm going to give you the final say, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. What a great debate, and I appreciate the debate. But I would like to answer a couple of things and also let you know the genesis of why I brought this amendment. As we had the discussion, and you remember about the tranche 1 and 2 and 3, that's the reason that I brought this amendment, because I had this feeling that everything went down through appropriation number 2. Committee number 2. So that's the genesis of this. And then I would like to echo from the fine lady of the Appropriations Committee, and I want everybody to understand that this bill, with the amendment that the Appropriations Committee put on it, is beautiful. We will not be seeing the 64th legislature, I do not believe, and the legislatures on past will not be seeing these tranches if the amendment that the Appropriations Committee here on the House side put onto this bill and it goes through the other side. It's a beautiful work. It's how it should be. We should not have these tranches. But having said that, this is how it works. We just simply take a little bit of money to the side. It goes through the legislative process. To answer about how the committee is formed, we left it a little loose. So Management Council can appoint the committee. I originally had it that it was one member of every committee to make sure that everybody, as they listened to testimony over the session, had an opportunity to say, oh, wow, this is important to committee number 3 and this is important to committee number 6, and bring those ideas. How it's set up now is like an ominous water bill. Everybody would go and present their ideas as a limited amount of money, and that committee that's chosen from among us and the membership down at the other side would put together their suggestions. And then it would come as a regular committee bill, and we would debate that committee bill, just like we do with those special projects, what we do with the wildlife trust funds and all those other funds. And members can pull some off or put some in, but there's a limited pot of money, and that would be the bill that would come before you. I think it's a good idea. It gives all of us a chance to represent our constituents and our communities and say, hey, we need this one-time funding, and not have to go through the process except for what happens as we go through our regular process to go through three readings and amendments and whatever. So I think I covered everything that I wanted to cover, that it does go through the legislative process. But no matter if you vote this amendment up or down, the way that the bill is going to leave this side of the House, I think we should all be very excited about, should be all very proud of. And with that, Madam Chairman, I would call for the question.
The question being called, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 146, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 146 has failed the House. Senate File 146 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of third reading, of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I would move the consent list consisting of the following bills: Senate File 24, Senate File 88, Senate File 90, Senate File 118, Senate File 136, and Senate File 144.
Are there any bills that anyone would like to remove from the consent list?
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you. Madam Majority Floor Leader, I would like to remove Senate File 118 from the consent list.
All right. Senate File 118 has been removed from the consent list. Would the reading clerk read the consent list, please, of the following bills: Senate File 24, 88, 90, 136, and 144.
Senate File 24 from Minerals and Aquilating to Public Utilities, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 88 from Senator Kraft, an act relating to health care facilities, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 90 from Senator Geis, an act relating to medical service, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 136 from Senator Kinski, an act relating to emergency medical services licensing, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 144 from Senator Nicholas, an act relating to alcoholic beverages, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman. Gay, Greer, Halverson,
Harshman,
Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Lauk, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton excused, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 24, are there any changes? Wilson? Aye, to no. Edmonds, aye, to no. Steinmetz, aye, to no. Larson Lloyd, aye, to no. Edwards, aye, to no. Croker, aye, to no. Yagi, aye, to no. Halverson, aye, to no. Reeder, aye, to no. Gay, aye, to no. Piperinen, aye, to no. Jennings, aye, to no. Baker, aye, to no. Laux, aye, to no. Clem, aye, to no. Lindholm, aye, to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 43 aye, 16 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 88, are there any changes? Croker, aye, to no. Steinmetz, aye, to no. Are there any other changes? Larson Lloyd, aye, to no. Miller, aye, to no. Are there additional changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 4 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 90, are there any changes? Madden, aye, to no. Jennings, aye, to no. Pinnell, aye, to no. Kasparik, aye, to no. Gay, aye, to no. Miller, aye, to no. Walters, aye, to no. Baldwin, aye, to no. Blackburn, aye, to no. Lindholm, aye, to no. Campbell, aye, to no. Harshman, aye, to no. Blackburn, I think, are you an aye to a no? Okay. Wilson, aye, to no. Edwards, aye, to no. Laux, aye, to no. Are there any other changes? Dayton, aye, to no. Are there additional changes? The vote is closed. 43 aye, 16 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 136, are there any changes? Edwards, aye, to no. Moniz, aye, to no. Gay, aye, to no. Kasparik, aye, to no. Walters, aye, to no. Pinnell, aye, to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 6 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 144, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 24, 88, 90, 136, and 144 have passed the House. The next order of business is third reading. Chairman Sawanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. According to Rule 7-3, I need to lay back Senate File 118 for one day based on an amendment that needs forthcoming based on the action of the other body.
Right. Any objection from any member in the House? So approved. So the regular third reading will be as follows, Senate File 50 and Senate File 132. The first bill for our consideration on third reading and final passage is Senate File 50. And we do have an amendment that would, oh, yes, go ahead, Mr. Reading Clerk.
Senate File 50 from the Tribal Relations Committee, an act relating to administration of the government, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
All right, and that would be Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Madam Majority Leader. At this time, because I did get the appropriate information, I would like to withdraw third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 5 and urge an aye vote from the body.
Thank you, Representative Byrd, that's wonderful news. Is there any further discussion on third reading of Senate File 50?
All right. Senate File 50, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Esquivel,
Freeman, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
excused.
Northrup excused, Patton excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff, Pieperinen,
no.
Pennell,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne, Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker, Freeman, Freeman excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Steinmetz, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 13 no, 3 excused.
Senate File 50. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 50 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 132.
Senate File 132 from Senator Scott, an act relating to housing discrimination, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
We do have four amendments. The first one, Representative Clem, that will be taken last, and we will start with the second reading, or the third reading, amendment number two, Speaker Pro Tem Stubson.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I'd move third reading amendment number two to Senate File 132 and ask for your favorable consideration. And ladies and gentlemen, I heard some concern about, and actually as I looked closer at the bill, shared some of that concern about the lack of discretion with the Attorney General in this bill, specifically as it relates to an enforcing authority, which may be a third-party nonprofit. And that's what this amendment is meant to address. And it does really two things. First of all, it makes clear on page 32 that the enforcement authority of the Attorney General when a charge is filed is discretionary. The Attorney General may bring an enforcement action if it deems it appropriate. It currently read shall, and I think it's appropriate to give that discretion. Secondly, on page 35, if you look, the subpoena enforcement, there's no reason that the enforcing authority themselves can't enforce a subpoena that they issue. They're already under the bill given authority to issue subpoenas, and so this just sort of takes the strikes the Attorney General out of that and makes clear that he doesn't have to do that for them, that they can do it. And then there's a couple other little changes, but they're all the whole purpose of them is to ensure that the Attorney General maintains a freedom of action, maintains their discretion, and is sort of kept out of the process as much as possible. So I'd ask for your aye vote on the amendment.
Representative Summers.
Madam Majority Floor Leader, I guess on this whole issue, since this amendment speaks to the Attorney General, are you now comfortable that we have the adequate protections in there for the Attorney General? And does that include, will this cause an increased amount of activity from the Attorney General's office? Will they have to hire personnel? Can you speak a little more about the entire Attorney General position?
Any other questions prior to the sponsor on the amendment? All right, I guess for your second time.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. There is, and I think we'll probably talk about this a little bit later in the debate, but there is the number of those cases that we see around the state are not, you know, an inordinate number. So even if the Attorney General was charged with enforcing this act solely, I don't think that you'd probably see a significant increase. So you could. But as the bill's structured, and especially with this amendment, giving the Attorney General discretion to only get involved in those areas where the Attorney General has discretion to get involved are those of a general public importance. It's not, you know, every single case that flows down the pike. And so I'm at least comfortable that there's not, we shouldn't see another request for a position next year. And you can remind me I said that if you do see one next year.
Question being called, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 132, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 132 has passed the House. We're on third reading amendment to Senate File 132. Representative Conley.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 132 and or to Senate File 132, and I ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, I know that many of you had asked me why I didn't speak on 115, and if we had passed it along, maybe I would have, maybe I wouldn't have. But when this bill came forward, I decided that I needed to speak on this bill. This is an important one. But before I do so, I want to talk a little bit about some of the email messages that I received on 115, and we all have to love our economist on the floor who actually counted them, right? And he counted 1,400 of them. And interestingly, there were about 700 on each side. And honestly, as putting in this amendment just this morning, it looked like we were going to get another 700 by this afternoon. But one of the messages, but for the most part, I deleted them, and I think you did too. And, you know, some of them that were personal, let's see, I was going to be sent to hell, and I was told to leave the state. But one of them, interestingly, that I didn't get, that I think many of you did, because one of you showed me your correspondence with that person, said that, as the subject line, Representative Connolly should declare a conflict. And I was just beside myself. And so I honestly pulled out our rules, as did this person, about a conflict. Our rules say, a member who has a personal or private interest in any bill proposed or pending before the legislature shall disclose the fact to the House members at the time of initial consideration. It then goes on to say, as used in this section, personal or private interest means the member shall receive or incur a direct financial gain or loss if the measure or bill is enacted. And I have to tell you, I sat back and I thought, oh my goodness, what does this mean? What did this person mean by this? That the personal benefit that I would get would be the failure of your discrimination. That's the personal benefit. And honestly, I have to tell you, I was a bit appalled. But then trying to have a bit of a sense of humor, I decided the rest of you should declare a conflict, because you're the one who get the benefit for maintaining the discrimination, I guess. But in all honesty, I'm going to say that I don't think either I, or for the rest of you who are gay or lesbian out there, or those of you who are straight, should declare a conflict. All right? But that is one of the messages that I did get. But moving to this particular addition to the Fair Housing Act, I visited with the author of the amendment that we ultimately debated regarding 115 and said, you know, if we had had this Fair Housing Act in our statutes, that too would have been one of the areas that would have been important for you to carve out. Right? And I loved his amendment. He went right to what were the issues that people were writing about. They were about employment and they were about public accommodation. You know, that was the core of that bill. But there's another one, and it's housing. And if we had had this bill, I would have encouraged, if we had had this bill in our statutes, it would have been important to carve out that piece as well. Friends, one of our conflict rules say that if you're part of a big enough class, you don't have a conflict. And I just looked up and I, you know, what's the estimate GLBTQ population in the state? And I think the answer was, for in 2012, which is the latest place that there's data, 16,716 individuals. That's 16,716 individuals, and maybe they're in couples. And the next thing I'll talk about are families that need housing. And in my other life, I can tell you that at least once a year, a student comes and talks to me about the fear of losing his or her apartment or trailer simply because they're gay. Every year. The other statistic that I think is, oh my goodness, it's so important and so telling. Wyoming has the second highest rate of GLBT couples with children in the entire nation. Second in the entire nation. And so what that means is families with kids who live in fear of being thrown out of their homes simply because they're gay or lesbian. So this is an important addition to the Fair Housing Amendments. And so I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to encourage you to defeat this amendment, not for any other reason than for this act to really become effective and really do a good job in the state of Wyoming. It needs to be substantially equivalent to the federal act. And this, I fear, would deviate far enough from substantially equivalent to the federal act that the monies that are available for from the federal side to administer this act within Wyoming would then go away, and it would become a financial burden on the state of Wyoming. It's not that I'm for or against what's going on. I'm just saying we need to stick to being substantially equivalent to the federal act, and that way we would be able to receive the federal monies to administer this program, or the nonprofits that choose to administer this program within the state would be able to receive that money. And so it's really just trying to say, as I keep repeating, stay substantially equivalent to the federal act, and I'm afraid we would be deviating too far with this. So I would urge you to defeat this. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak on this amendment? Representative Chairman Zwanitz or Dan?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just believe that last argument's kind of a red herring. 21 states have this language already, and they certainly aren't deviating from the federal act, nor has the federal government or HUD come after them in any instance I could find. And that argument would be the same if the feds were to pass this language in the federal act, which may happen in the next 3 years. We wouldn't be out of compliance, at least in my reading, that this would be a protected class. And so while I appreciate that sentiment, that argument, and I guess 21 states is not currently the majority, we could sure make it 22 here today. But I certainly appreciate the amendment. My name's on it, and I think it would be it's nice. If you look through what are protected classes in the housing statutes, you know, you have things like race or color or national origin or religion or sex or disability. And so, you know, right now you can't discriminate in housing from someone in a foreign country, somebody who is a different religion, maybe Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, certainly people of other colors or other religious beliefs. And so I ask myself, if you can't prohibit any of those protected classes, why could you kick someone out of your house or not let them rent from you just because they're gay? You know, they could, if they claim to be a Satanist, you can't do that under a protected class under law right now. But so it just seems really odd to me that we wouldn't include this, because it just kind of makes sense that nobody should be, you know, evicted or not rented to solely because, you know, their sexual orientation is GLBT.
Would anyone else like to discuss for their first time on this amendment? For your first time. For your Representative Winters.
First time for my second.
All right. Anyone else for your first time? For your second time. Anyone for your second time prior to the sponsors? Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. Folks, we didn't vote for 115, but this gives you the opportunity to be able to say, we're going to do this one step at a time. And the first step can be this fair housing law. It has been incorporated. The inclusion of sexual orientation and gender identity has been incorporated into almost 24 other states. We could be one more. It's one small step. And so I encourage you to vote aye.
All right. The question being called, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 132, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The chair's in doubt. Please stand for aye. And there, Albert just opposed. Third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 132 has failed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is number 4, Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would like to move third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 132 and ask for your favorable consideration. And what we're doing here is just working on some of the language that is concerning to me in this bill. I appreciate the good bringer of a second reading amendment number 2 who cleared up some of the language. He kind of took a scalpel to what I tried to take a baseball bat to on second reading. And so I'm just working on this a little bit more. So, and I just want to take you through this amendment, but before I do, I want to talk to you about the information that I was waiting on from the Wyoming Attorney General's office. The Attorney General was concerned that, and if you look in your box, you'll have a handout on this. The Attorney General's office was concerned that he had no discretion regarding his involvement in cases brought forward under this act. Conceivably, even one case could create a noticeable increase in workload from an attorney and paralegal staff. At this time, it is impossible to predict how many such cases may require the attention of the Office Attorney General. While we do not expect an immediate fiscal impact to the agency, additional resources in the form of positions and funding may be requested in the future should the increased work generated by this act exceed what can be done with an existing staff and funding. And so since then, I've also visited with them just a little more, and they said if they had 7 cases or more, that would probably require an extra position in their office and extra funding just to help. Below the Attorney General's opinion, you will see the handout we were given by some of the good folks that were in the lobby. And in 2014, 23 complaints were filed, 15 conciliation settlements were successful, 5 were unresolved, and 3 had no cause of determination or dismissed. On the next back of that page, you'll see the learning about the Fair Housing Act, and on the HUD website, it says under the underlying area, first, the newly protected classes have proven significant sources of new complaints. So when they do expand their protected classes, they do get quite a few more new complaints. And then the genesis of this bill, it started out in 2005, and you should have a handout on that. There was a fiscal note on the impact to the Attorney General's office. The bill was written pretty much the same as this one, and then the same thing occurred in 2007 with House Bill 207. And if you take note to the sponsor, good sponsors of the bill, you'll learn a little bit from that as well. So these are the information I want to provide to you in order to further vet this bill and make an informed decision today. My amendment starts out on, if I can find it now with all of these piles of paper here, I have misplaced it. Okay, here we go. On page 2, line 9, under an aggrieved person, we're just deleting, putting a period on line 9 after practice and deleting the rest of that line to try to alleviate the speculation there. On page 13, line 9, this is the exemption for selling your house for or renting, and the if it's your own home. And so basically in the middle of line 9 after time, we're deleting down through line 15 to the end. The reason being that that's really not an exemption. If you're going to use a real estate agent, then you won't be exempted. So we were going to delete that. And then page 33, line 1. And there we are just going to delete seeking relief on behalf of an aggrieved person. And that should help out the Attorney General's office as well, because they won't be acting on behalf of an individual, which I was told by them they never have done in the past. The third part of your handout shows the rest of the bill. It's just a Word document that I created that shows all the places that the Attorney General was mentioned and what the good representative's amendment did to amend the bill. And just for your general information of how many places the Attorney General's office is impacted. The other part that I'd like to bring to your attention is, even though we have an enforcement authority who is a nonprofit organization, which, by the way, the Attorney General let me know that they have never had this kind of a relationship with the nonprofit before, so they're not quite sure how all of that would work. So basically, we're inserting the nonprofit. They will be getting the HUD funding, but the Attorney General's office is funded by us currently at this time. And so as we make this decision and as we move this amendment, I just really want us to be fully informed on what we're doing and how this will affect the Attorney General's office and how it has in the past. So I would ask for your aye vote on the amendment. Thank you.
Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Majority Leader. I'd like to divide the amendment, I'd move to divide lines 1 through 9 as Division 2 and line 10 as Division 1.
All right, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Division 1 was line 1 through 9?
Either way,
okay.
One division would be line 1 through 9 and the other one would be line 10.
All right, and then Division 2, line 10.
And Madam Majority Floor Leader, speaking to Division 1 first, and the problem is that, of course, that I've asked the sponsor this, but I'll ask it on the mic too, that, you know, if there's assurances that with these changes it's still the substantial equivalent to the federal act, then we could do whatever we want. But I'm just not convinced that's the case. And I'm not sure we actually want to make these changes. If you looked under aggrieved person and the portion that's being stricken out there, what that deals with is if you aren't the person actually being discriminated against, but you witness discrimination, you become aware of it, being included as an aggrieved person gives you the authority in this bill to file the complaint, make the enforcing authority aware of it, allow them to do their investigation, et cetera. And so I don't think we want to eliminate that right for a third party to come in and report discrimination that they witness, which is what this amendment does. The other part of this amendment, which goes in on page 13, strikes out the language as it relates to real estate brokers and agents. And the problem is, I mean, this bill, these requirements apply to real estate brokers and agents. You can't have a transaction agents involved and not have these provisions apply, but that's what the amendment attempts to do. So I just urge your no vote with respect to that first division and Division 2 is fine.
Would anyone else like to speak on Division 1 prior to the sponsor, okay? So we'll go with Representative Conley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And honestly, this is a question in general before we vote on this, but the good bringer brought up the Attorney General and how the Attorney General has never dealt with a nonprofit like this. And I guess my question would be, or the reality is, certainly the Attorney General does in terms of victim services. Victim services takes care of crime witness victim protection organizations in every one of our counties, as well as all of our anti-domestic violence programs as well, which the Attorney General does. And so that, to me, you know, not an exact analogy, it certainly is an analogy with, you know, at least two dozen different nonprofits in the state.
Would anyone else like to speak on Division 1 prior to the sponsor? Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With regard to the last question, the Attorney General said they had never been being able to be utilized as an attorney for an enforcement agency that was a nonprofit before. This is not something they've done before, and they didn't quite know how it was going to work. Hopefully these amendments will help that out, if we should choose to pass this bill. I do just want to say we do need to be substantially equivalent for this to work, but there is also a big difference between local control and local enforcement, and that is what we're doing here, which is local enforcement. So I'm just attempting to tighten up some of the language here, because not every complaint is a valid one, and we have to be mindful of our property owners as well. So with that, I'd ask for your I vote on Division 1. Thank you.
Would the Speaker Pro Tem like to speak for his second time on Division 1? All right. We are voting on Division 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Division 1 has failed. We are back on the amendment on Division 2. I believe, Representative Steinmetz, would you like to speak on that?
Well, I've kind of already explained this before. What we're doing is just simply deleting the top of a line, page 33, line 1, so that we don't have the Attorney General acting on behalf of an individual person as an aggrieved person. So with that, I call for the question and ask for your aye vote.
All right. Seeing that there is no further discussion, calling for the question, all those in favor of Division 2 of Amendment Number 4 to Senate File 132, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. I'm sorry. Please, all those in favor, please stand. Division 2 of third reading, Amendment Number 4 to Senate File 132 has passed. We are now on third reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 132. That would be Representative Clem.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 132, and I will withdraw it at the proper time. This is kind of a last-ditch effort to kill the bill. And you say, well, why would the guy in the wheelchair want to kill this bill? I mean, it talks about fair housing, and certainly this would help a guy like me. Well, I do have some concerns, and let me address those concerns. First of all, as the good representative a few moments ago just mentioned, local enforcement is not the same as local control, or local control, rather, is not the same as local enforcement. And basically what we're doing is we're changing the enforcement method of the federal government to the state government. And that's what we're doing. We're saying that we're going to create a like-minded bill. And instead of the federal government enforcing this thing, we're going to task the state of Wyoming with enforcing this bill. So I kind of want to bring some contrasts and comparisons here to what this would mean under the current law, meaning as it is right now with no changes, and then under this potential law, what would this look like? Well, under the current law, federal law applies to Wyoming and is enforced. Keep that in mind, folks. This is enforced as it is right now. It's applied. It's enforced by the federal law. There are actually several grants for local enforcement that are available. Well, that's something we haven't heard before. In doing some research, I found out there are two groups of grants that you can get basically through HUD. And one group of grants is open to anybody. It's open to those nonprofits, and it's open to the state if the state were to do that. The second group is really one grant, and that grant is the grant that has that substantially equivalent language. If you want to apply for that grant, you have to have a bill, a state bill, that's substantially equivalent to the federal law. Okay, so this one group of grants, and by the way, there's three grants in this one group of grant. So that's one group, and then the other group is just one grant that has a substantially equivalent language in order for you to apply and get it. Well, how many of our local agencies, nonprofits in the state of Wyoming, then have these grants currently because they can get those grants? Well, you can imagine that there's none. That's right, there's zero. Zero of these nonprofit agencies within the state of Wyoming have a grant currently. Which begs the question, well, why? Well, why don't they have these grants? Well, it could be that there's too many federal strings attached to these grants. Maybe they're asking too much of these nonprofit agencies or those that would enforce such a deal. Perhaps there's too few claims of discrimination. And we saw that in a moment, a paper that was given out, and that could be the fact as well. Well, under the potential law, what would this look like? Well, federal law still applies and is enforced. The difference is state law is the one that's going to be enforcing the law, instead of the federal instead of the feds. All grants will be available, including that one that says the one that is tied to the substantially equivalent language. There is a potential for nonprofits to still not apply. They may not apply at all, which if that's the case, what do we do then? So if the nonprofits aren't going to apply for these grants, and they're not doing so right now, and we enable one other grant to become available where they can apply and do some enforcing, and they choose to still not enforce, well, what happens then? Who's the enforcing authority? Well, you can imagine that's going to be our Attorney General here. Well, if that's the case, then are we asking them to take on more of a workload than what they already have? Well, yeah, we're asking them to do that. So are they going to apply for these grants? And if they do apply for these grants and get those grants, well, what happens in the future? Say, for instance, this federal law changes for better or for worse. Let's say it changes for worse, and whatever that worse is in your mind. Well, then are we going to be told as a state of Wyoming that we need to change our law and make it worse so that we can apply for those grants in the future so we don't then revert or rely upon our general funds to carry the workload that we were carrying before with those grants? And so there's a potential here just for a mess. And my contention is, folks, there are avenues available right now where people can go out and enforce these laws for the feds locally, but they're not doing so. And there's a reason why. And so why get the state all mixed up into that quagmire, that mess? And so for that reason, folks, I would ask you to, I'm going to withdraw the amendment, but I urge you to defeat this bill. Thank you.
Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. Just a response to that and some comments a little bit earlier in the debate, and one word of caution. And that word of caution is when a senator comes to you at the beginning of the session and says, it's a simple little bill, make sure you ask him some questions. But with that said, this is a good bill. And the reason you know that this sort of step makes sense is because we've done it across state government and all sorts of different things. For example, all our environmental enforcement, that's done because we have agreed to implement federal law and we've agreed to do it at the state level. And if you ask your folks in the minerals industry, for example, or natural resources industry, whether they would rather have our folks at DEQ work with them on these issues or work with the federal agency, you'll get a pretty clear response on what's preferable and how it works better having somebody down the street rather than across the country. We've seen it just this session on the agreement state status that we did for nuclear regulation. And that bill, it had a substantial cost to it, several millions of dollars in several positions, so that we as a state could take over and have the right to enforce federal law, because it makes sense, because it allows the people of this state to deal with somebody on a more expedited basis and usually on a more reasonable basis. With that said, the whole issue about the Attorney General's role in this, I think, is a telling one, and I think it's one that the comments were made regarding the prior bills, and you were pointed to a fiscal note on the prior bill, and the danger, of course, in looking at a summary, not the actual bill, is that you don't realize by looking at that bill required the Attorney General to be the sole enforcement authority. It was a totally different bill, required totally different enforcement mechanisms, and therefore had a totally different fiscal note attached to it. Similarly, we were pointed out to, in sort of this effort to make this look like an expensive bill, pointed out to the reference that expanded classes leads to expanded enforcement. But this isn't expanding any of the protected classes. These are the exact protected classes that exist right now, where you saw 20 cases brought. And actually, even though there were 20 cases, none of those, all of those were either conciliated or dropped. And so I would just submit to you that I believe it's a good idea to have this enforcement mechanism in the state with our with enforcement agencies that are rooted in Wyoming that respond, have the ability to respond to us on a more timely and expedited basis. And because of that, I would urge you to have an aye vote for the bill.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just to comment on those questions that were just raised, first of all, those fiscal notes were with bills that were almost exactly identical. If you look in your archives on the website, you'll see that they're almost exactly identical, and this bill was too, until the gentleman across the way, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, changed the enforcement agency from the Attorney General to this nonprofit something that we don't even know who it's going to be. So that's pretty open-ended. And so I just wanted to address that so that you could look that up at your leisure if you'd like. And I'm a no vote on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Jennings.
Madam Chairman, thank you. I was on this committee, and I was one of the three no votes, but I went into it beginning thinking that I was going to be a yes vote. And I actually agree with the idea, the concept of keeping the feds out and bringing, let Wyoming take care of that. But as I listened to testimony, I had a little problem, and I just wanted to tell the body what those were. We're told substantially the same language. Well, the federal language is 19 pages, and the bill that you have in front of you is 42. So I don't know if we used extra large print or extra large words, but that's quite a bit of difference for them to be substantially the same. In testimony, we heard that there were 20 complaints, and I've slept, so I don't know if that was 20 complaints in 1 year or two. 16 quit the complaint before it ever was investigated, and 4 settled before it was ever heard. So during that 1 or 2 year period, there were 0 that got there. We were also told, and this is what kind of started getting my attention, was that the grant that we're talking about is around $80,000 to $100,000 for this Fair Housing Authority. So it's really not that much money. And so it seemed strange to me that we have this huge fight over $80,000 to $100,000 grant money coming in. And we were told in testimony that they expect that number, that if we bring local control in, which again, I would be for, at some point, that it goes up if we get more complaints. So when I asked the question, so you're telling me that if we can get more people to complain, the grant money will actually go up, which again, to me, my ears really perked up at that point. So the last thing that really turned me from a yes to a no vote, if you have your bill with you, on page 2, there was speculative language that really bothers me. On page 2, line 9, and I will tell you, I did not read the entire bill. I did try to, but I didn't get quite done before I got to committee. On line 9 is, or believes that. That's very speculative. On page 5, line 21, was another one that kind of caught my interest. This section does not prohibit discrimination against an individual because an individual has been convicted under federal law or the law of any state of illegal manufacture or distribution of a controlled substance. So we can discriminate if you've been found guilty. But what if you've cleaned up your act? And then on the next page, page 6, line 10, or the intention. And I think you'll find that it goes on through these 42 pages that way. That really bothered me. You know, I don't know how you guys are going to vote, but I don't know what, and the reason I don't is because I don't know what your intention is. So that became very problematic to me, on and against the bill as it's written.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd just like to answer a few of those questions. The first one in regards to the number of pages in the bill versus the number of pages in the statute. If you look at how all of our bills are drafted, they're drafted with large print, double spacing, double spacing between sections and between chapters and all of that. And that just makes them larger. If you ever go back and look and see how they get printed in your green books, they're never as long and never take near as many pages as what they take when we're looking at them out here on the floor. As to the complaints, I'll just try and address that. There were 20 complaints in 2013. That is the year 2013, 16 being withdrawn, and the other 4 were settled without a hearing in court. There were 24 cases in 2014. That would be 2014 with 24 cases. 5 of those were unresolved, 3 were dismissed, and the remainder, a settlement of some sort, was reached without going to court. And in terms of the grants and the versus the number of complaints and the dollar values that go with that, the federal side will pay for the entire setup of this program as well as all of the operational costs of this program. So if there is a large increase in the number of complaints, then the federal side will make sure that the state is covered financially in that regard. Does that mean that the more complaints, the more money we make? Well, by default, it does, but I certainly don't believe that there's going to be an increase in the number of complaints. We're just simply saying you can go to the state south of us and file your complaint, or you can file it right here with someone who understands Wyoming values and Wyoming's way of life, someone that might even be your neighbor or a friend or something. And so that's all this bill tries to get at, is trying to make sure that you can do that sort of stuff locally. And so I hope those have answered some of your questions.
Representative Kasparek.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. On and for the bill. Yeah, we voted for 3 bills this year, and as somebody that most of us all know always says, any day that Wyoming has primacy is a good day. This bill gives Wyoming primacy in handling these kind of concerns and complaints. We've passed 3 bills this session that give Wyoming primacy in different ways. And I've read the bill. I've listened to a lot of my colleagues. Maybe I don't see what you're seeing, but I don't see the harm in this. It is substantially the same as the federal law, and that's what we've done in every other bill that we've passed. It gives primacy to the state of Wyoming.
Representative Edwards.
Madam Majority Floor Leader, thank you for the opportunity to speak on and against the bill. I was one of them in the committee that was for this bill, voted it out of committee, and I am now going to vote against the bill. I don't like the idea of giving over somebody's rights on speculation. When I first was approached by the people that sell the houses, they told me that this bill didn't have any problems in it. All we had to do is follow what the federal regulations were and make it easier on them. It doesn't look to me like it does either thing. Whenever you put pressure on the person that is renting or whatever he's going to do with a rental property or a house, and they have to stand up against somebody that makes an accusation against them, and there's no consequences if there's nothing found that they are held right on their side, the person that made the accusation, there's nothing that happens against him. To me, that is wrong. You know, they make accusations now with people that want to come in and, the no-knocks are one of those. They go in and they can bust your door down. And in the town where I'm from, they did that once, and I told them I didn't think that was right, that they would go into somebody's house they didn't have a warrant to go into. This is starting to get a little away from it, but I am going to vote against this, and I hope that you will too. Thank you.
Representative Chairman Zwanzer Dan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And just responding to those last comments and to the people who are against this, because I'm strongly for it, and I don't see all the same black helicopters, but I suppose if you do, based on those last person's comments, would you rather have a federal person knocking down your door and hauling you into a litigation action if you're a property owner, or would you rather have, you know, a local attorney, someone that you can talk to and you know, and you know, people in your community who know you going after you? So if you are in fact trying to support bad landowners who don't want to follow the federal law, I mean, I guess that's your choice. But that doesn't address in this bill. We can't fix that. It's a federal law. All it's saying is, do you want the state or do you want the feds to come knocking in these situations? And I would submit to you the same, that everybody who's a proponent of this bill, you want state primacy, you want to deal with local people, and I just don't see the same concerns that the people against the bill keep raising, because I think it is a good state's rights issue and a primacy issue, and we can handle this internally, and it's still federal money. I mean, it's like a triple win. And so I'd ask you to support the bill.
Would anyone else like to speak on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 132? And the good sponsor has withdrawn. I thought he had, but maybe we need to clarify that. Okay. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. Just to close this conversation, and I appreciate the debate. You know, one of the things that we look at, the federal side of things, they make laws all the time, and they're responsible for enforcing those laws. You know, when does it become incumbent upon the state to have primacy over some of those laws? Well, it's in those times where we have redresses. It's in those times where we feel that we're getting the short end of the stick, in particular the environment. I don't have to go, I don't have to say another word in regards to the environment. You could already probably formulate those complaints inside of your own mind right now. What about the whole thing with the nuclear regulatory system and the state taking primacy over that? Well, we have one of the largest uranium reserves in the world. Well, why wouldn't we want to do that? And so there are certain instances where we do want to maintain that primacy when it comes to who is the enforcer of the law. And we're talking about a federal law now. Now, whether this bill lives or dies, one thing is for sure, that the federal law is still there and it reigns supreme. It's going to get enforced one way or the other. You've heard this saying before, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, is our system broke right now? Is there a need for the state to take primacy of this enforcement? You saw the numbers. You saw the complaints. You saw how many actually went to litigation. Is there a reason, a legitimate reason, that the state should take primacy over this issue? And again, if we do, notice, in contrast to what we did with some other issues where we took primacy, like the nuclear issue, we appropriated funds there. Well, here we're not appropriating any funds, but what we're going to do is we're going to say, you know what, if some of these local nonprofits don't take the lead here and be our enforcers, our local watchdogs, and guess what? It's going to rest on the state of, or it's going to rest on the back of the state, in particular the Attorney General. And we don't have any funds that are appropriated to that cause. Now, they can go ahead and they can apply for a grant, which, mind you, they can apply for right now when that one group of grants, those three grants, they can apply for a grant right now and they could get it. But again, whenever we tie in federal funds to an issue like that, guess what is attached? Well, federal strings. And folks, this is one of those areas where, in my mind, you know, do you want to grow government, whether it's federal or state? Well, not if I can't help it. So why do I want to grow this? The federal law is already there. It's already being enforced. I don't really take issue with the federal law, folks. I like it. I mean, it helps a guy like me who's in a wheelchair, who doesn't get discriminated against if I go looking for a house. So I don't take issue with that. I take issue with the fact that is it necessary for the state to take this upon itself? And folks, my argument is not. We haven't seen evidence. We haven't seen clear and convincing evidence that the state should take this upon itself to enforce this, especially when we haven't appropriated any funds to the Attorney General's office to take on these cases, and when we're going to ask them to apply for grants that have federal strings attached. And so I would urge the body to vote no on this bill. Thank you, and at that time, or at this time, I would withdraw the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Amendment number one, third reading to Senate File 132 has been withdrawn. The question being called. Senate File 132 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker,
aye.
Baldwin,
aye.
Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blackburn,
no.
Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
no.
Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
no.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
no.
Edwards,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Escobel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman, Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
I
am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Pinnell, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 32 aye, 27 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 132, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the House, of the members elected to the House, Senate File 132 has passed the House. We are at that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message number 416, concurrence requested. Madam Chairman, House Bill number 65, State Employees Group Insurance, County Employees, the House bill listed above, passed on third reading. In an amended form as followed by the vote indicated. That vote was ayes 18, noes 11, 1 excused. The Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 417, third reading passed. Madam Chairman, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 215, Community Juvenile Services Boards, dash creation, ayes 29, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 418, third reading passed. Madam Chairman, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 243, Child Abuse, ayes 29, one excused, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 419, third reading, failed. Madam Chairman, the bill listed below failed to pass in the Senate on the third reading by the vote indicated. It's House Joint Resolution 4, Balanced Budget Amendment Resolution, ayes 7, noes 22, one excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 420, third reading passed. Madam Chairman, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 235, Foreign Business Entities Reinstatement, ayes 29 and 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 421, conferees appointed. Madam Chairman, the Senate appointed the Senate conferees to meet with the Light Committee Number 1 from the House on Amendments to Senate File 130. The Senate conferees are Senator Burns, Chairman, Senator Driscoll, Senator Rothfuss, signed Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 422, conferees appointed. Madam Chairman, the Senate appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the House on Amendments to Senate File 133. The Senate conferees are Senator Cooper, Chairman, Senator Hastert, and Senator Hicks. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 423. Madam Chairman, Senate File 81, Kevin's Law. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 26, noes 2, 2 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 424, conferees appointed. Madam Chairman, the Senate appointed Senate conferees to meet with the Light Committee Number 1 from the House on Amendments on House Bill 121. The Senate conferees are Senator Wasserberger, Chairman, Senator Bebout, Senator Peterson, signed by Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
The next order of business is concurrence requests. We are at that order of business, a request to concur with the Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message number 416. On House Bill 65, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Members, I would move message number 416 to House Bill 65 and ask you to vote no on the concurrence. And this was a Appropriations Committee bill, and really have put a couple things particularly at the bottom of page one where we have an independent actuarial analysis, and it's just unworkable with the timelines. Plus, it puts the state, I think, in a precarious position to spend $6,000 to $12,000 per county, and I don't think the timeline works with the 120-day notification. It'll take longer than that. So I think we need to probably go back, Madam Chairman, and talk about this. I fully realize the hour of the session is drawing near, and that, you know, by voting no, it might be the end of this, but I think bad policy is still bad policy, and I think they've irreparably harmed this bill. And so I'd ask for your no vote. Thank you.
The question being called, we are voting on the motion to concur with a no vote on Senate amendments to House Bill 65, a majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
Gay,
Greer,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Northrup. Patton. Excused. Paxton. Pelkey. Petroff. Pipirinen. Pinnell. Reeder. Schwartz. Summers. Steinmetz. Stubson. Throne. Walters. Wilson. Winters. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Halverson, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. One aye, 58 no, one excused.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 65. The next order of business of consideration for Joint Conference Committee reports. And the first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Number 1, to House Bill 38, Chairman Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move Senate Message Number 299 to House Bill 38, and we'll ask for your aye vote. This is the PAC funding bill that you'll remember is an Interim Corporations Committee bill that took off the PAC limits on donating to statewide legislative and statewide elected official races. It came to this body, and we had made a previous bill last year that set the limit at $3,000. And so we came up with a compromise in the House that set the legislative races at $3,000 cap for PACs, but allowed a statewide elected official for one of the top five offices to have an unlimited PAC amount. The Senate disagreed with that and decided not to concur and amended the bill back to how the Interim Corporations Committee had it, that there was no PAC limit whatsoever. So we went over this morning and discussed with them, and our compromise position was to continue to have no PAC limit on a statewide elected official, one of the top five, and to put a maximum of $5,000 per PAC for any state legislative candidate. And so that was a compromise, and we all signed on. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? The question being called. We are voting on Joint Conference Committee Number 299 report to House Bill 38. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Kirk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart. Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, excused, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Pipirinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Bird, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 7 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Number 299 to House Bill 38.
We're now at that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. The first act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 92. The reading clerk will read the act.
Enrolled Act Number 92 from Original House Bill 215, an act relating to Community Juvenile Services Boards.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 92, being Original House Bill 215. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 93.
Enrolled Act Number 93 from Original House Bill 235, an act relating to foreign corporations and foreign limited liability partnerships.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 93, being Original House Bill 235. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 94.
Enrolled Act Number 94 from Original House Bill 234, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 94, being Original House Bill 243. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 95.
Enrolled Act Number 95 from Original House Bill 162, an act relating to public health.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 95, being Original House Bill 162. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 96.
Enrolled Act Number 96 from Original House Bill 212, an act relating to workers' compensation.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 96, being Original House Bill 212. I have so signed. The next act for consideration is Enrolled Act Number 97.
Enrolled Act Number 97 from Original House Bill 228, an act relating to real property.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 97, being Original House Bill 228. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 98.
Enrolled Act Number 98 from Original House Bill 166, an act relating to electrical safety and fire prevention.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 98, being Original House Bill 166. I have so signed. The next act for consideration is Enrolled Act Number 46, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 46, Senate from Original Senate File 101, an act relating to education.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 46, Senate, being Original Senate File 101. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 47, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 47, Senate, from Original File, Senate File 44, an act relating to the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 47, being Original Senate File 44. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 48, Senate.
An Enrolled Act Number 48, Senate, from Original Senate File 92, an act relating to workers' compensation.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 48, Senate, being Original Senate File 92. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 49, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 49, Senate, from Original Senate File 100, an act relating to Controlled Substances Prescription Tracking Program.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 49, Senate, being Original Senate File 100. I have so signed. The next act for consideration is Enrolled Act Number 50, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 50, Senate, from Original Senate File 47, an act relating to cities and towns.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 50, Senate, being Original Senate File 47. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 51, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 51, Senate, from Original Senate File 16, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 51, Senate, being Original Senate File 16. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 52, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 52, Senate, from Original Senate File 4, an act relating to agriculture.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 52, Senate, being Original Senate File 4. I so sign. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 53, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 53, Senate, from original Senate File 52, an act relating to elections.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 53, Senate, being original Senate File 52. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 54, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 54, Senate, from original Senate File 142, an act relating to fire protection.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 54, Senate, being original Senate File 142. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 55, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 55, Senate, from original Senate File 58, an act relating to the Wyoming retirement system.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 55, Senate, being original Senate File 58. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 57, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 57, Senate, from original Senate File 95, an act relating to operation of motor vehicles.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 57, Senate, being original Senate File 95. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 58, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 58, Senate, from original Senate File 11, an act relating to junk dealers.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 58, Senate, being original Senate File 11. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 59, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 59, Senate, from original Senate File 124, an act relating to sales and use tax.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act 59, Senate, being original Senate File 124. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 60, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 60, Senate, from original Senate File 134, an act relating to wildlife and livestock.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 60, Senate, being original Senate File 134. I have so signed. Committee announcements. Wow. You want a privilege? Representative Cohn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Conference Committee 1 on House Bill 180 will meet immediately following adjournment in House 8. Thank you.
Any other committee announcements? Madam Majority Floor Leader, I believe that clears the deck. Oh, Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Quick privilege.
Okay.
Just to remind you folks, take a careful look around you and keep in mind to not let your guard down. Just because nothing happened last night doesn't mean it won't. So be mindful because it won't go unanswered.
Madam Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a reminder for the crab dinner tomorrow night, all your family members, others, you know, your kids, everybody's invited. So it's just, you know, it's just for everybody. And it's just a great time to kind of get back and kick back and relax you know, make up for all of the naughty things that JAC did to you guys this year. And so... We'll see you then, hopefully. And if all those folks go into the governor's dinner, please come over afterwards. We'll still have plenty of snacks and libations and desserts. So.
Chairman Miller.
Mr. Speaker, are you still doing conference committees?
We are.
All right.
For about 30 more seconds.
House, we have a I'll announce a conference committee on House Bill 121 tomorrow at 1 o'clock in room H8.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I think your deck is now clear. I move that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow, March 4, 2015.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. We're adjourned until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.